Mr. Speaker, I have the distinct privilege of standing in this Honourable House because the people of Mikut North had the foresight and wisdom to entrust their well-being and that of their children and their grandchildren to me. I therefore beg your indulgence, Mr. Speaker, as I thank the people of Mikut North who expressed their confidence in my capacity to represent their concerns and interests in this House. Mr. Speaker, I wish to reassure them that it is a responsibility that I take very seriously. Under divine guidance, I again pledge to do my very best to advance their cause. Mr. Speaker, the people of St. Lucia have waited with bated breath for this year's budget, especially against the backdrop of promised better days. So, Mr. Speaker, as I peruse the 2012-2013 estimates laid before this Honourable House, I was already prejudiced in my reading, knowing what the needs of my people are and being single-minded in my task to unearth anything that might bring direct benefit to them, or even more importantly, to identify and to guard against anything that might negatively affect them. In an estimated budget amounting to approximately $1.4 billion, I searched with microscopic tenacity for the components of the estimates that could offer hope and inspire confidence in this government. Moi bien gardé, moi bien li chaque page. But Mr. Speaker, I was particularly distressed. Moi t'ai bien distoué. When on page 342, head 52, project 6, lines 001, 002, and 003, under early childhood education, I discovered that the allocation for curriculum development, supervision of preschools and daycare services have all been slashed. Gouvernement coupé à sous l'argent. Am I to interpret the reduction in this year's allocation to mean that the government has de-emphasized the importance of the early development of our children, whose critical period of intellectual and emotional growth is between the ages of 1 to 5 years? It may be cliche, Mr. Speaker, but it is true that the children are our future. Mr. Speaker, a reduction in the allocation can only mean a worsening of the situation which my preschool teachers in Mikut North brought to my attention. This, Mr. Speaker, is a distant reality from the universal early childhood education that was a key ingredient in the smooth but apparently lethal cocktail of promises made on the campaign trail. Mr. Speaker, I therefore beg for a reconsideration of the budgetary allocation to meet the needs of our preschoolers, especially in economically deprived areas such as Mikut North. It struck me, Mr. Speaker, when I visited the schools in my constituency, the many children who come from deprived homes and who are wholly reliant on the school feeding program for a balanced meal. Mr. Speaker, on page 343, head 52, project 7, line 002, under primary education, the allocation for school feeding program has been decreased to much less than that of the previous year. Mr. Speaker, very often we tend to read those budgetary items in isolation as standalone adjustments. But Mr. Speaker, the reality is simply that a farmer in Mikut North with a family of two children is confronted with a reduction in his earnings because of leaf spot and other challenges to the sector, and the school feeding program of the primary school that his children attend may very well have been abandoned. And so he must now provide lunch for them, while there may very well be a reduction in the subsidies on staples like rice, sugar, and flour. And on top of that, as of September 1st, he may well have to pay VAT on consumables. Mr. Speaker, it is the combined effect of these measures that will cause financial hemorrhage, further impoverishing already poor families. Is that the reality, Mr. Speaker, which prompted the Honourable Minister responsible for finance to comment yesterday that our economy is anemic? These cuts, Mr. Speaker, could really result in the bleeding of our pockets. Aouge. So while we are tempted to view these cuts in isolation, it is the compounded effect that really bleeds our people. So my fear is, Mr. Speaker, that poche les pauvres castellans, juste yo mettez la main en tête. From the Poile Bridge, the Trumasse Bridge, my farmers are reeling from the pressures of low yields, a downturn in the banana industry, and the adverse effects of black sigatoga, or what we colloquially know as leaf spot. I am encouraged by the suggestion of some reprieve to farmers in the form of a provision of approximately $5 million, as stated on page 517 in the capital program, for the management of black sigatoga. But Mr. Speaker, given the myriad woes of the banana sector, I would have liked to see a sum larger than the meager $138,451 earmarked for the rehabilitation of the food and fruit crop subsector, which to my mind should be repositioned as one of the key sectors, not only to trigger the much talked about diversification within the agricultural sector, but also, and maybe more importantly, to guarantee our food security. Mr. Speaker, while I am on the issue of agriculture and food security, I see an allocation, Head 36, Project 3, line item 216 on page 499, for the acquisition of greenhouses for Bodley Correctional Facility. Allow me to applaud the government for its appreciation for the holistic rehabilitation of the inmates at Bodley, hence the need to engage them in productive, self-empowering activities. But Mr. Speaker, may I ask of the Honourable Minister for Finance and his colleague minister under whose purview Bodley falls, that out of the allocation, that a small gift of at least one greenhouse be made to the students of the Mikul Secondary School who have asked of me to source a greenhouse for them so as to enable them to fulfill the requirements of their agriculture curriculum. Mr. Speaker, throughout the region, governments are lamenting the fact that young people are not attracted to the field of agriculture. We should therefore, Mr. Speaker, see to it that we can offer whatever help we can to any young person or group of persons who demonstrate even an inkling of interest in agriculture. Mr. Speaker, the estimates are replete with nice, big, step ideas which should bring a smile to our faces. Yep. But Mr. Speaker, I am afraid that there are many who may not smile when VAT kicks in September as promised, although the proceeds are already incorporated into the expected revenues. The implications of this, Mr. Speaker, I promise will be dealt with at the appropriate time. On this occasion, however, I will address nice, big step and smile accordingly. Mr. Speaker, let's focus our attention on nice, page 499, project 1, line item 272, with an allocation of $35 million. It is immediately apparent, Mr. Speaker, that this is a significantly toned down version of the promised million-dollar leap on the first page of the Labour Manifesto. Bagay pa bel konu kakwe. Bagay pa bel sonu paka lipoko atchoma nuka bwete. So what we have now is a nice limp, not a leap. Nonetheless, Mr. Speaker, in the spirit of equity so eloquently espoused by the Honourable Minister of Education and my dear friend, I must say, I trust that some of that $35 million will find its way to Mikut North to alleviate the plight of the unemployed. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I now turn my attention to the many allocations earmarked for the Ministry of Commerce with anticipated big results, big being business improvement for growth. They include the National Trade Promotion Agency, strengthening of the private-public dialogue in St. Lucia, development of the services sector, industrial development assistance, National Trade Export Promotion Agency, Trade Information System, e-commerce policy and training, and enhancing the environment with an allocation of a meager, for the latter, $187,500. Mr. Speaker, I've highlighted all these items which can be found on page 516. So as to make a brief observation and to issue a caution, if I may. In a previous life, sometime between 2010 and 2011, I had reason to interact with the Ministry of Commerce and to get a glimpse at some of the work that goes on in there. Mr. Speaker, there is no shortage of studies and consultancies that have been undertaken by that ministry. The difficulty is, Mr. Speaker, unless the Honourable Minister moves quickly to realign her staff and to bring in some competent people in very technical areas, what you will have is the continuation of a one-man, one-woman show and a continuing pile-up of reports and consultancies with no one to bring the recommendations to life. I fear, therefore, Mr. Speaker, that even as the allocations increase for the strengthening and developing of services, the services sector, and the investment sector, what we may very well come to realize is the inefficient use or wanton waste of taxpayers' money, something we could ill afford at this time. Mr. Speaker, step. What can I say, Mr. Speaker, about step? Whereas I understand and appreciate that STEP indeed brings some income into the hands of those who find themselves unemployed, I would hate to think, Mr. Speaker, that STEP is the equivalent of the jobs that were promised. I would hate to think so. And Mr. Speaker, it is in that context, therefore, that I welcome the SMILE initiative, and I desperately want some of the $1 million allocated to SMILE to offer hope to the single mothers from Mikut North who crowd my office every week telling me of their woes. I wish this program would finally bring a smile to their faces. But very often, Mr. Speaker, there is a skewed geographic distribution in some of those seemingly laudable initiatives. I therefore ask that the people of Mikut North be given due consideration within the context of that program. Mr. Speaker, similarly, head 5103, line 268, the Community Development Program expansion of after-school program with an allocation of over $3 million. Mr. Speaker, I owe it to the people of Mikut North to ask on their behalf that some of that money be invested in Mikut North. Mr. Speaker, it will go a long way in providing the right channels for our talented youth who may, if left idle, find more sinister avenues to express their talent and exuberance. Let not the children of Mikud North be left out, please. Please include them. They have proven through their participation in the St. Lucie Steel Pan Orchestra, the recently launched karate school, and various other after-school programs that they too are talented and should benefit from various government programs of this type. So please, I urge you, do include the youngsters of Mikud North. I was earlier today treated to a very spirited and passionate contribution by the Minister of Sports. I was heartened by his mention of the Monipol Wen field and his willingness to help with the rehabilitation of that field. I would have liked, however, to see a larger allocation than the $2 million I see here listed for the establishment and upgrading of playing fields, especially at a time when St. Lucia can boast of sporting greats like Johnson, Mathurin, Sammy, Spencer, Zafrinas. Should not our sporting facilities, Mr. Speaker, assume a higher priority and attract larger budgetary allocations so as to offer the space, the facility to produce the greats of tomorrow? It would be remiss of me, Mr. Speaker, if I did not acknowledge the already productive conversations that I've had with the Minister of Sports with respect to the needs of the young men and women of Mikud North. I eagerly anticipate delivery on the many promises that he has made to the people of Mikud North through me. Mr. Speaker, on page 509, head 2, line 208, there is an allocation of $500,000 for youth empowerment program. Yep. Mr. Speaker, as you know, Mikud North is one of the most economically deprived areas on the island. And even the Honorable Member for Soufre has acknowledged this, and I too look forward very eagerly to the programs that he has earmarked for Mikud North. I would hate to think, Mr. Speaker, that Mikud North would have to suffer because it has chosen this young lady to represent it. As you may know, Mr. Speaker, we the people of Mikud North, if afforded the opportunity to participate fully in YEP, can realize a significant turnaround. So I ask for equity in the distribution of those resources. Mr. Speaker, an amount of $10 million has been set aside for the Constituency Development Program, page 516, head 4418, line 209. Mr. Speaker, this initiative, which was started under the previous administration, is one of the demonstrably beneficial outcomes of collaboration of both parties across the aisles. May I urge the government to ensure that it builds upon an already solid foundation of collegiality among parliamentarians, and that in the execution of the CDP, that all parliamentarians will benefit equally. Mikud North stands ready, therefore, to work with the relevant agency and ministry to ensure that projects that undoubtedly can bring some promise, some socioeconomic hope and promise, will be undertaken. Mr. Speaker, I must applaud the political integrity of the Minister of Education. Mr. Speaker, I recall very vividly his many clarion calls while in opposition, highlighting and bringing into sharp focus the plight of the students and teachers of the Mikud Infant School. Mr. Speaker, within weeks of winning the election, I visited the Mikud Infant School and myself was exposed firsthand to the difficulties that school has to undergo on a daily basis. Within moments of completing my tour, I rang the Honorable Minister of Education, and we brainstormed various options so as to bring some relief to Mikut Infant School. I am extremely happy today, Mr. Speaker, to note that in this year's estimates under capital expenditure head 52, project 5, line 228, under plant and equipment, an allocation of $2.8 million for the expansion and the rehabilitation of the Mikut Primary School. The thinking, I suspect, Mr. Speaker, is that that school will be expanded to incorporate, to house, to take in the students and staff of the Mikut Infant School. I tell you today, we the people of Mikut North, especially in the village of Mikut, are very happy with that development, and I thank you on their behalf. There is, however, a lingering concern to which I need to refer. I have visited all the schools in my constituency save for the SAA school, and I do apologize for that, but I am aware of their problems. And of the $2.5 million I see here listed for the rehabilitation repairs of school plants, may I ask of you that you pay special attention to the toilet facilities in all of the schools in Mikut North. In Mikut Secondary School in particular, there's a very embarrassing situation where the principal is required to go to the district education office when he does need to use the bathroom, and that his staff toilets are adjacent to the students' toilets. I want you please, Mr. Minister, to restore the dignity of the staff of the Mikut Secondary School and to outfit that school with appropriate toilet facilities. Mr. Speaker, I could not help but notice some glaring omissions from the estimates with respect to the provision of adequate health services to the people of Mikut North, the people of Mikut Village in particular. In that regard, I make specific mention of the still existing makeshift health center in the Mikut Village, which services the many patients who crowd there on any given morning during the week. So while there is an allocation on page 509 for a new specialist hospital to the tune of $595,000, the people of Mikut North remain concerned and very anxious about when, if at all, will they have the privilege of a newly constructed wellness center outfitted with modern equipment and an array or range of services that could adequately correct their many maladies. I ask you, Mr. Speaker, through you, the Minister of Health, I asked her during the break, what am I to say to the people of Mikut North about the health center? And she says, tell them it is under careful consideration. I wish to ask of her to not delay the deliberations with respect to the Mikut Health Center, and I hope that I can see it come into being in very quick time. Mr. Speaker, allow me a moment to plead with the Minister for Health to devote a larger share of the health pie to administering care to psychologically, emotionally, and mentally challenged citizens. I must confess that during my campaign, many persons approached me asking for advice as to which office they could turn to because they were in need of some relief, wanting to house or attend to their relatives who were mentally ill. I ask through you, Mr. Speaker, that the Minister of Health go to greater lengths to marry the provision of services at the community level with that which is offered at the Wellness Center so that the two entities can feed into each other accordingly. I wish I could say something to the many people I have on the list wanting to house the mentally ill. I look forward to having some discussion with her on to how we can bring some relief to those families. Much has been said about the $300,000 allocation for Northern Cemeteries. And I'd like to add my voice to that discussion, Mr. Speaker, if you would allow me. The Mikut Cemetery, too, is overcrowded. Many people are forced to now bury their loved ones in Viewfort. I need not go through the sentimentality regarding where one should bury one's loved one when he or she has passed. I ask very simply, therefore, that some consideration be given to identifying lands where a new cemetery can be constructed, and that the people of Mikut North can be laid to rest in a decent place when that time comes. I would like to inform this Honorable House that already we have started discussions as to where perhaps that cemetery can be located. So we have started the process. We look only for the government to provide the necessary support. Mr. Speaker, the Ministry of Infrastructure is one of those ministries that is charged with maintaining what I call the veins of a country. And I note with interest the allocations made for the reconstruction and rehabilitation of roads. And in some cases, there was very specific mention of some areas. Mr. Speaker, I would hate to think that omission or non-mention translates into non-participation in the program. So I got very nervous when I did not see Mikut North on the list or any of the streets or areas. But I trust, Mr. Speaker, that the Honorable Minister responsible for infrastructure will continue a program already earmarked for Mikut North, and he has started in that vein with respect to potholing. But there remains significant work to be done. I wish to remind the Honorable Minister of the ring of the St. Mary Lorba Ring Road, for example, which is almost impassable. Similarly with the road to the Wen Plainfield in Monrepal, almost impassable. The culvert in Cooley Town still needs attention. And Mr. Speaker, there's a road in my own neighborhood, if I am to so state publicly, that needs attention in Mikut Village Extension Phase 1. To that list also, you may need to add Myatt Gardens. I must applaud the people of Myatt Gardens who have already shown tremendous initiative by sourcing some of the material, ensuring that at least the road is now motorable. I have promised, Mr. Speaker, that I will intervene on their behalf and ask of the minister to provide the drainage so at least their efforts won't be rained out. Mr. Speaker, I'm glad that there's an allocation for the refurbishment, the rehabilitation of jetties. A mere $325,000, albeit. But I would like to ask that careful consideration be given to rehabilitating the jetty in Pale and to building one in Mikut Village. I can no longer carry the personal guilt of knowing that at 3 o'clock in the morning, my fisher folk have no choice but to place their feet in freezing cold water to access their boats simply to earn their keep. Mr. Speaker, souple, map, vlese, mnajwen, fwe, dia, sukotwe. So I ask, please, that those jetties, one be built in Mikut and the one in Pale be rehabilitated. And I ask too, if I may, that consideration be given to rehabilitating the road in Maho that was so severely damaged by Hurricane Thomas. My farmers remind me on every occasion, Mr. Speaker, that the road is simply impassable, that they have to access their farms by going the other way costing them much more in fuel and time than they could have had the road been restored already. They could have accessed their farms more readily or easily had that road been restored. Mr. Speaker, I must confess that as I peruse the line items under the Ministry of External Affairs, at this juncture, in the absence of some explicit policy statements, there was little to chew on except the line items regarding current expenditure per se. But having said so, Mr. Speaker, external affairs is an area that is very close to my heart and in which I've been very intimately involved for much of my life. I would have liked to see some more explicit lines of expenditure that would signal to me and to the people of St. Lucia a significant shift in the modus operandi of a ministry which, to my mind, has a critical role in steering this country through the rugged waters of a fast-changing and uncertain geopolitical world. The ministry will be relieved to learn that they are coming in, and this government is coming in, on the tail end of a very difficult storm. And that is the kind of political honesty that is necessary if we are to evolve as a people. I think we have very largely gone through the worst of the storm. So there is some hope in the current climate for this ministry, along with the sister ministries, to take charge of the reins of this country and do for the people of St. Lucia what they were enticed into believing that could be done. And so, Mr. Speaker, I ask that that ministry be completely outfitted with a complement of staff beyond what I see listed in the estimates, if it is that we should help Fair Helen ride or navigate the storms and to stay above the tide. There is so much more that can be said, Mr. Speaker. I'm always mindful of things as laid on paper and the mechanism required to translate those things. And so I have reviewed the programs such as SMILE and BIG and STEP. And I find them still a very distant cry from what it is perhaps our people were somehow courted or cajoled into expecting. But Mr. Speaker, notwithstanding, I think in time all will be seen and all will come to light. I listened intently as the Honourable Member for Groseley made the bold pronouncement, Mr. Speaker, that her people will get a fair share of the capital program. Mr. Speaker, if I am to derive any confidence from the throne speech delivered earlier this week and its expressions of togetherness and the urge to work in the interests of all St. Lucians in the spirit of democracy, equity, and fairness, I too would like to proclaim on behalf of the people of Mikud North and to reassure them that they will have a fair share of the capital program as well. If at all, Mr. Speaker, I am misguided in my thinking, please forgive my naivety. Mr. Speaker, indulge me further as I share an early observation. The urge and necessity to win an election should never surpass the need to uphold our political integrity, to tell people the true state of play. Because effectively what you do when you promise what you know our small struggling economy cannot deliver is that you create unrealistic expectations that you must now find very creative ways of satisfying, or as was attempted in the throne speech delivered earlier this week, to very deliberately reset the expectations of the people. Though I am new to this game, already I can appreciate the inherent dangers in creating expectations during an election campaign that very simply our economy cannot afford. We say, there's a Creole adage which goes like this: Sa wat kadi an fetay kai, se pa sai kadi an zatwak. And so, Mr. Speaker, I'm left to reflect on that Creole adage and also on a Latin saying, which is res ispa locator, the ipsa locator, the thing speaks for itself. To the people of Mikud North, I say, I know you will ask of me, Rep, ki sa ki a budget la pou Jean Mikud North? I want to give the people of Mikud North the assurance that notwithstanding that this budget will prove a burden on our national purse, that whatever spoils are therein, that they too are not only entitled to it, but I will see to it that they will get some of it. I want to thank the people of Mikud North for the confidence they have invested in me. It was no easy fight, as you are well aware, Mr. Speaker. But as I had said a long time ago, many months ago, Lani Fum, Fum, Ek Fum. And so the people of Mikud North have chosen a woman whom they know, even within the strict confines of this debate, will bring their concerns and their interests to the fore. I say to the farmers, to the fisherfolk, to the single mothers, to the preschoolers, the preschool teachers, and the parents who can ill afford to pay for the school feeding program or to even purchase meals for their children, that I will see to it that whatever services that they had been accustomed to under the previous administration, I will see how best it can be maintained within the context of the budget we have before us today. I thank the people of Mikud North and all those who in various ways have lent their support and have lent their encouragement. I am new to this, but I am prepared to learn and to learn very quickly. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, the people of Mikud North, for allowing me the opportunity to speak on your behalf, to plead on your behalf, and to bring to you the things that you urgently desire and are entitled to, notwithstanding the fact that I sit on the opposition benches. I thank you.